Okay, I'm just going to go on record. The two or three jerks do not include Len Dawson. Do not include Len Dawson.
I've been asking you that question now for several weeks, who those jerks are.
All right, well, let's switch to the other side of the ball. Indianapolis, their quarterback did not have a good game. Many people were saying that maybe Eli Manning had more pressure on him than his brother, but it looked like Peyton was feeling it too.
Well, he had three interceptions, and there were four turnovers for Kansas City. The punter dropped the ball late in the ball game, and they got Kansas City got great field position. But generally, when you say four turnovers, you're supposed to win that football game. But because Kansas City was so inept offensively for the first three quarters in particular, I mean, they hardly made a game out of it. So, but no, Peyton was off. That thing could have been a blowout, a big blowout, if he was really on target.
And Dwight Freeney, the left side there, Jordan Black was not getting a lot of help there. They were missing their backup tight end as well, somebody that could have provided a little bit more stability there. But let's talk about Trent Green. Because it seems to me that ever since, we talked about concussions before, I don't care if it clears the medical staff, if you look at Roethlisberger and if you look at Trent Green, they're guys that just did not play at the same level. They may be able to do well in practice, but the speed in a regular season game is different, and the speed in a playoff game is even more difficult to adjust to. It looks like Trent Green is not processing well. He's not throwing accurately. A lot of the passes were a little bit off target. How do you rate his performance?
Not very good. Not compared to what I've seen in the past from Trent Green. Generally, you know, he was right on the numbers when he was throwing the football. Very accurate passer. But a lot of throws were, my goodness, down at people's ankles and, you know, slow in getting there. And just not the zip that he had on in the previous years when he passed for over 4,000 yards. So, you know, he says he's all right. But his performance tells me that maybe he isn't all right. Because that's not the guy. Bear in mind, you know, the pass protection has not been very good this year for Kansas City. I mean, the quarterback does not have the luxury of standing back there and looking around, analyzing what defenses are in, and that with the ball in his hands. He's got to get back, get set to fire that ball because the pressure is going to be on. If you saw the game that the, you know, Jordan Black had a heck of a time with Freeney over there. I mean, geez, he was in the lap of the quarterback all afternoon long. Jason Dunn, the tight end, was put on injured reserve because he's got some disc problems in his back. He has played, I guess, a couple of games with that problem, but, you know, I think, you know, he might say, well, I could have played. I'm a tough guy, but, hey, just ask some of my ex-teammates about how tough you can be, you know, later on in life when that thing comes back to really haunt you, because back problems are problems that really don't go away. So for Trent Green, you know, of course, you can understand the cry here. Damon Heward did so exceptionally well when Trent was out, and they're all crying for Damon Heward in the ball game. A lot of people thought when the second half started, when they hadn't even had a first down, that maybe Herm Edwards would change quarterbacks. Because I say that because during the week he was asked, "Would you do that?" He said, "This is, you know, this is sudden death." He said, "You got to win this game. Got to find a way to win it." And you know, yeah, I'd make that move in a heartbeat. But to surprise a lot of people, that he didn't make that move.
What about the fact that a quarterback has some responsibility to put two hands on the ball to protect the ball when he's under pressure? In other words, it looks as if somebody's getting close to Trent and they hit him, the ball's coming out. Is there anything else he can do, or is it just that he's not capable of that right now and some other quarterbacks simply are better at it?
I don't know whether he's trying desperately to make a play or what, but the intelligent thing is this. You know, you can't, as a quarterback, you can't block. I mean, you're back there, you need some time. If it's not there, then you have to cover that football. You cannot afford to turn it over. He did it against Jacksonville as well when Kansas City was ahead. They were fortunate that they didn't score on that turnover when he coughed up the football. But he did it again Saturday against Indianapolis when, you know, he's trying to do a little scrambling or moving, but the first thought should be protect the football. A lot of times during the course of the season, he's trying to make plays, Nick, and he gets outside the pocket when they put that rule in. Hey, you can throw the ball away without any penalty. And he's trying to run and do things like that. In a Jacksonville game, he's running with it, trying to pick up yardage instead of throwing it out of bounds, gets his cleats stuck in the turf and twists his ankle. And I don't know if that was a factor in that ball game Saturday against the Colts, whether that ankle was bothering him or not. But his footwork is not what it used to be.
Well, we're going to get to Mike, who wants to talk about the Seattle game in a second. Mike, hang with us. But Al Saunders has joined us, who I'm sure has just a little bit to say about this game. Al, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Nick, how are you? Len, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Al.
Good. Nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the decision, and I wanted to first start with Len. When you were playing, and I talked with Dale Stram yesterday, Hank Stram's son, about this. He couldn't remember, but another friend of mine said he did remember a number of times, Len, a couple times, when you were always going to be the starting quarterback, but a couple games you weren't up to your best, whether it was slight injury, whether it was just not one of those days, and Hank didn't hesitate to put in Pete Beathard a couple times. Not many times, but a couple times. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. It's a couple of times. I remember against Denver one time that I wasn't having a good day, and he put Jackie Lee in, and it helped because he got things moving, and we ended up winning that football game. And there weren't that many times, but there's a couple of times, and I can understand that too. I never did understand why quarterbacks never got to play unless he's the starter. You know, every other position you substitute and keep fresh things out there, but the quarterback, I spent 5 years in the NFL wondering about that because I never got to play, but the quarterback position, I guess, is one in which people are really reluctant to make a switch.
Al, you have to think about getting your running back and your quarterback in the rhythm of the game. Many people noticed that Larry Johnson, when he got to his 20th, 25th carry, suddenly would be certainly a lot more effective. The quarterback's true as well, isn't it?
Well, I think so. You know, I've always maintained that those are the two positions that you have to get in a rhythm, and you do it in a variety of ways. But obviously the running back needs to carry the ball to get himself in a rhythm, and then the quarterback needs to throw it. So you'd like, you know, early in the game to give him an opportunity to get some completions. It's kind of like playing basketball. You know, you hit those first two layups, and all of a sudden those three-pointers seem like they become a little bit easier. So it's always a part of our game planning to try to help those guys in both those positions get into a rhythm early.
So how do you break down this game as you watch it? It had to be tough for you. First time in 46 years a team didn't get a first down. Let me just straight out ask you, would you have changed quarterbacks at halftime?
Oh, boy, I tell you, that's a tough one, you know, because I'm not there. You know, I don't know what went into the game plan and the complexities of what they faced in terms of what they talked about in the locker room and what their expectations were. You know, they may have gone in with the idea that Larry was going to carry the load, and they expected Trent to make the conversions on third down. And, you know, I don't know what the situation was. So that's hard for me to answer, Nick. And what I do know is that it was hard for me to watch because of the success that we had over the years with Trent as the quarterback and how well he'd done. And last time we played Indianapolis, we put up 45 points and we didn't punt, you know, so it was hard to watch that game. I was pulling for those guys, and I'm so emotionally attached to Trent and the rest of them that, you know, I was just really hoping that they would do very well.
His timing was off, wasn't it, Al?
Pardon me?
Trent's timing was off, wasn't it?
It seems so. He didn't, when we talked about the rhythm early, he didn't seem to have the same rhythm that he normally does. But you know, as a quarterback, when you're put into a situation, I think the first six or seven drives, it was, you know, it was run, and then all of a sudden you're in a third and five, third and six, third and seven situation. And that's the most predictable situation in football for a quarterback to have to throw the ball. You've got two open edges, you've got, you know, your protection issues, and you've got a defense that, you know, sees that passing game quite, you know, regularly, and all of a sudden your quarterback is in a situation where he has to make the difference and he has to make the throws. And I think that's tough to ask of anybody, especially in a playoff environment like that.
Are you trying to say that first down is kind of important now to get positive yards on first down?
A guy by the name of Bill Walsh once told me, he said, you know, the most important down in football, everybody thinks it's third down. He says, you're going to fail 60% of the time on third down no matter what. He says, the most important down in football is first down because it sure makes those third downs a lot easier. And I think as I've grown in coaching, I've really kind of adopted that philosophy myself. And that first down is so critical. And, you know, you get a situation where you keep your team in a mixed down situation at second and short or second and manageable, and then all of a sudden it's third and short or first down again, and it sure helps you move those chains.
We're going to go to Mike in a second, but one last question about this game. Was Bob Sanders that important to the Indianapolis defense? One person turning around what was clearly the worst run defense in the NFL, Al?
Well, you know, we played Indianapolis this year and without Bob, and he is such a he is what Rodney Harrison is to New England. He's what, you know, John Lynch is to Denver. He makes a tremendous impact.
He's a catalyst.
You know, Yeah, you know, I mean, the run, you know, people would tell you in a general way that, you know, you stop the run and you got to run the football in the National Football League to win. Well, there's a lot of things you have to do, but having him in the game, you know, certainly provides another element of strength that their defense needed so desperately, you know, in the waning parts of the year. So, you know, his addition, I think, was a major plus for him.
Let's go to Mike in Seattle. Got a question about the game, Mike. Thanks for joining Head Games.
Hey, actually, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, go ahead.
But anyways, no, I just got questions about, you know, after that game, we watched what happened. Everyone just is a foregone conclusion. Dallas was going to win that game if they make the field goal. Nobody's brought up, there was a minute and 20 seconds left in the game. What's to say Seattle wasn't going to run down the field like they did the drive before? You know, all you hear is nothing. We heard nothing on ESPN, any of the sports shows after the game at all. They didn't interview our coaches, nothing. And we're just kind of wondering why they don't do that.
You know, actually, I find it interesting. We had Josh Brown on the show, and Josh Brown was, you know, clearly a factor at a level that's rarely been accomplished before, and I think that's exactly what would have happened. They would have kicked that field goal anyway, and Seattle would have gone down, and I think Josh Brown would have hit a, you know, medium-range field goal to win the game. That's
right.
Just my opinion. But we're going to have to go to a break here. Mike, if you'll stay with us, we'll talk a little bit more about that game, and we'll be joined also by Merrill Hodge and get some final thoughts from Al Saunders, along with our good friend Len Dawson, about the battle of the quarterbacks. Because ultimately in the playoffs, the leaders on the field, the field generals, the teams that have the quarterbacks like Len Dawson in his own time, that could make the right decisions, that could make the right audibles, that makes a huge difference in the playoffs. We'll be right back on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.